To you, Father, we ask especially for Michael. Lord, I just pray that You'd touch him and encourage him and strengthen him. You'd grant him healing, Father, and length of life because of Your great mercy. Now, thank You for this time and these men and women, Father, who have orchestrated their family at significant effort to be here. I pray, Father, that Your Spirit may open Your Word in such a way that we would see it and understand it and recognize the gravity of its meaning for us in our lives. Thank You, Father. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want to say thank you to Hutch for last week for the scripture and his very capable instruction. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I want to start by saying that I think I set the bar wrong. And I asked some guys yesterday, tell me about the book of Ephesians. And I thought, okay, there's a disconnect between what I'm saying and what they're remembering. So we're going to tack slightly. And I talked to Lindsay, and Lindsay's going to lead the charge on this. I'm going to give you three words. If you remember those three words, you will know and understand what the book of Ephesians is all about. So here are the three words. And if somebody asks you, what's Ephesians about? This is all you have to remember. First of all, it is revelation administration defense. It is the revelation, the administration, and the defense of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the true meaning, the true purpose for which Paul penned the book of Ephesians. Now, to help you remember that, R A D. That is short for radical. Sean Gardner is radical. And Jesus made a radical change in his life. You don't know how radical it is, but it was big. And he made a radical change because of what he did. That's what the church of Jesus Christ is designed to do. It is designed to make Lindsay Overly radically different. And all you have to remember, that's what the book of Ephesians is all about. It's about the revelation, the administration, and the defense of the book. This is 1 to 3, 4, 5, and half a 6, and this is the other half of 6. So it's got 6 chapters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, first half of 6, last half of 6. That's the book. 1, 2, 3, the revelation of it. He opens it up like, I'll tell you something you haven't heard for 4,000 years. And so hopefully we're going to repeat that again and again and again, so that everybody, when they walk out, when we finish the book, somebody says, what's Ephesians about? You say, oh, that's about the revelation, the administration, defense of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And you would have very succinctly, insightfully sketched out the book of Ephesians. So, having said that, now, thank you, Hutch, for last week. And this is his first time here. He forgot to pass out one sheet. And so I put it on the top. Look at the little booklet they passed out today. Now, we're going to cover all of it, but I want you to do it as I move through it. Okay? So the first thing we look at is just the top page. And I'm going to review for about 30 seconds what Hutch covered last week, because with multiple teachers, it's critical that we join together and you see the scene so that you, when you finish, you got the whole book. And that's harder to do when you have teachers that are teaching one guy this guy, next guy this week, next guy this week. So, you're looking at the top sheet. It's the standard grammatical layout. And you'll notice it says, "Walk in truth" at the top. Okay? And right underneath it, it says, "The Gentile walk." You no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their minds. What that describes is a Gentile world view. So write that next to "in the futility of their heart." The Gentile worldview comes all the way down, butts up against the Jesus walk. If you want to know what the guy next to you thinks about life, and he doesn't know Jesus, this is what he thinks about him. This is the Gentile worldview. And as our nation separates, even more divided, becomes more bitter and has greater animosity, you'll see the separation greater and greater and greater. And when you see it says, "The truth is in Jesus," that's where we start today. Now that's the biblical worldview. Somebody tell me what a worldview is.
How you see the world.
What?
How you see the world.
Very good. A little bit louder.
How you see the world.
How you see the world.
The lens in which you see it.
It's what you think about it. Somebody says, "Well, what do you think about abortion?" You have a view. Everybody has a view on abortion. Everybody has a view on marriage. Everybody has a view on transgender. Everybody has a view. And it is either a Gentile worldview or it is a biblical worldview. And the purpose of this church, and especially this class, is to give you a biblical worldview. And so that starts in verse, I don't have it on the front, verse 20. So, Grayson, read Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 20 to 23. Now, you look on your grammatical layout as Grayson reads it.
"But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner in life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you will be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth."
Thank you. Now, you'll notice the outline on the side right there underneath it. This is the Jesus walk, or the Jesus worldview, and the essence of it is that you walk in truth. And I'm going to cover the process. Next Sunday, Keith is going to do the product. So, Hutch did the Gentile walk, and Keith and I will split the Jesus walk. So, now, there's three commands in the process. Put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self. Somebody tell me what the old man is. What is the old man? Don't say my dad. That's not a good answer.
Our disposition towards sin.
It's a little, what?
Our disposition towards sin, sin nature.
Our disposition towards sin. You're exactly right. Angel didn't have anybody to teach him how to lie. He lied naturally. He's rebellious naturally. Every one of us is. It's the old nature. It is the thing we were born with. That's what we look like when we hit the ground, when we come out of the cage. That's the old man. Now, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Turn the page. And I'm going to engage your minds now. There are 6 verses in the New Testament where the word renewing is used. You read one of them, Grayson read one of them this morning, 4:23, but that's only one. There's 5 other places where the word renewing is written. So, Angel, read those. Just read the verses down from top to bottom.
Without the references?
Read the references too.
Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Titus 3:5. He saves us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:23. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Hebrews 6:6. And then have fallen away. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified themselves, the Son of God, and put Him to open shame.
So, in Ephesians 4:23, it says, you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. But the renewed brings a much wider instruction than what you just see in 4:23. And so I've put them all on one page, and I'm going to let you pick out what each verse shares. So, starting in Romans 12:1-2, what does Romans 12:2 tell you about renewed? So just read Romans 12:2 at the top. What does it say about renewed or renewing?
It's transforming.
Says what? Okay, it's transforming. So the first thing you know, and you can put notes on the side. So it's transforming. Analyze the word transforming. What relationship does that have to renewed?
Radical change.
Right? So transforming is the result or the process of renewing. That makes sense? What else?
Of your current condition being conformed to the world, and that's a tough one to recognize. I've already become conformed in many ways and attitudes to the world.
That's very interesting, because what does the R-E in renew mean?
Again.
So what was the first time? The first time we were in the old man. And it's got to be changed. So the change comes because of the renewing. What's that? What else does it say about it?
It is opposite. There are two opposites. To be conformed to the world and to be renewed in your mind with the Spirit. That's why we have to fight. So instead of being conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You cannot be both at the same time.
All right. One, yes. Somebody, Christy, one other thing in this verse about renew.
It requires a new
Well, okay, you're right, Mike. The goal or the purpose is the will of God. So you can write purpose on the side, the will of God. What else does it tell us?
It is an action that we have to diligently work at.
What does the action take place, Lindsay? In your mind. Just remember that. Now write the word sphere beside Romans 12 to 2. Because it takes place between your ears. That's where the renewing takes place. Right there. You don't do it with your feet. You do it with your mind.
Dr. Lloyd?
Yes, ma'am.
This is fine to say it's between the ears, but what I find is helpful is for people to recognize it's not a function of the actual gray matter of your brain, but it's actually here. It's in the heart.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a minute. It's coming. But now, he identifies it as the mind, and we'll come back to what Amanda said. We'll get to that. Let's go to Titus 3:5. What does Titus 3:5 tell us about renewing? Good. And you want to use the word of analysis? You'd use the word agent. So the agent of the renewing is the Holy Spirit. The source of it is the mercy of God. By His mercy. What does Ephesians 4:23 tell us? A little bit louder. Again, in the spirit of your mind. So it's the sphere. Emphasizes the sphere. What else? There's something else it says. The spirit of your mind, we're going to not address that. Takes place in your mind. But what else? What? B. Who said it? Somebody said B. You're right, it's passive. if renew would be active. So it's be renewed. It's passive. And the key is the little ing. It happens to you. It happens to you. It's passive. So write that beside it. Colossians 3:10. Yes.
You know, in order to be renewed, you got to put something off, right?
You do.
Now, have you ever been addicted to anything?
Ever been where?
Addicted.
Yes.
I was addicted to smoking and cigarettes. And for every second of the day, I wanted that cigarette. And I'd tell my body no. Until eventually, I overcame it. And so sin's like the same thing. Your lust of the body, the eyes, you got to say no. You got to say no.
Amen. And Steve, we're going to get to that because he says three things. He says, put off the old man, put on the new man. Put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new man. First thing we did, as Steve brought out, is you stop. And that's a function of the will, which Amanda has brought out. We'll get into that also. But we've got to turn up a couple of pages, so let's move. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we don't lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed. And what else does it say besides this passage? What else does it say? It talks about the frequency. So put frequency over there beside it. It happens day by day by day. And the last one is Hebrews. It limits the scope. You can only do it so long, and then you're out of gas. All right, now turn the page. What I'm trying to get you to see is that the word renew has six faces to it. Actually, there's more than that, but We're going to talk about these six this morning. The agent is the Holy Spirit. The sphere is the mind. The voice, not this kind of voice, but voice as in active and passive, like mood and voice and gender, is passive. The focus, flip back one page and look again. I got sidetracked. Look at Colossians 3:10. What's the focus? To true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Who created him? God did. And so that image. Now, all right, back on focus. The purpose, the will of God, or transformation. Transformation is the immediate purpose. It's what goes on. And the ultimate purpose is that Jenna will do what God wants her to do. The will of God. And the frequency is daily. Now, somebody look up 2 Corinthians 3:18. Read it when you got it.
But we all with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit.
That is the actual thing that you look at. How many times have you ever picked up a book and started reading and your mind is, you're actually reading the words, but you're thinking about something else? Does that ever happen? All the time. And you got to bring your mind back and say, no, think about the words, what do the words mean? You can read the Bible and do the same thing. It happens, it'll happen in church today. The pastor will be reading the scripture and your mind will be somewhere else. The question is focus, focus, focus. The mind is an incredible tool, but it is very, very difficult to harness. It is one tough horse to ride. And the key is, when you look at the scripture, you focus. What is it actually saying? So, notice what it says in 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, what's that mean? Unveiled face. It's the Old Testament illustration of Moses covering his face when he came down from the mountain. And it's analogous to the saved person. With unveiled face, I can see, you can see clearly. So it's saved. So, but we all who are saved, behold is in a mirror. What's the mirror? The scripture. So I'm looking at the scripture and the glory of the Lord. I'm beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. I'm looking at what Jesus did. Turn to, Sean, give me Romans 12. No, give me Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. What did you say? The last part of it? Say it again.
Fixing our eyes on Jesus.
Let us run the race. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's what you have to focus on. What did he do? Flip to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 2. Everybody in this room is going to feel this. So don't feel like I'm singling you out. And don't think I'm thinking about you. I'm not. I'm thinking about Ben. look at what he says. Now, he starts in 1 Peter 2. Um, 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and you're harshly treated, you endure it with patience? I mean, you ought to. You did wrong, you'll be whipped for it. But if when you do that which is right, and you suffer for it, and you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you've been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. This is the example. Who committed no sin, and with any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled, did not revile in return. How many times have you feel unappreciated? Let me see your hand. Have you ever felt really unappreciated? They didn't understand me. They don't know what I'm doing. They don't recognize what I did for them. You ever feel that way? Have you ever said to the person, Sam, look, buddy, do you know what I just did for you? You know what Jesus says? He never says a word. You know why? Because He's selfless. He's selfless. And I need to look at that and recognize that's what I need to focus on. Because I want to focus on the other. My wife didn't do such and such. I want her to appreciate me.
While you wait to turn the dishwasher on.
I don't think there's a husband or wife in here that doesn't feel that way at one time or the other about the spouse. And he says, focus on Jesus. That's what he means when he says focus. The purpose, transformation, the will of God. Oh, daily. The frequency is daily. Turn the page. We've got to get to the sphere. I promised them that we'd get to the sphere. Now, what you're looking at when you get to the sphere, you will not find it on any page of the Bible. So let me put your mind at ease. I got Jack to pose for me last week, and I drew a picture. So if his head looks a little fat, if he looks like he's kind of fat-headed, it's because I don't draw good. This is how I think what goes on. And I've tried to reduce it to a graph or a picture so you can see. So this is a person. The location is, I'm locating the heart, the mind, the inner man, and the spirit of the man. So, notice this guy's got three parts to him. He's got a spirit, he's got a soul, he's got a body. You see those three things? Body, soul, and spirit. The spirit receives spiritual phenomenon. So right now, spiritual phenomenon is taking place. And if you are focusing on me, now I don't know what Shamila was thinking about. She looks like she's looking at me. She looks like she's thinking about what I'm saying. But I don't know. Right, Sam? I don't know. I don't know what Sam. Tell you what, maybe you think about something else. But if they are, and they are focused on what I'm saying, then spiritual phenomena is entering in through their mind. Okay? Entering through their spirit. It goes down into their soul, which is comprised of their mind, their emotion, their will, and their conscience. Their conscience is that little person that lives down inside that makes you feel littler still. He convicts you all the time. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. Don't feel that way. Bad attitude. Oh, we're a testimony. We're a testimony. That's true.
It is a blessing both ways.
Both ways. Now the body, the bottom, is where the physical phenomenon comes in. So give me some physical phenomena. What enters physically?
Actions. Joy.
Joy. Well, every time you look at a movie, every time you look at TV, every time you look at a billboard, every time you hit somebody, every time somebody hits you, all these are physical phenomena. Are you what? Right, all my senses. So Giovanni's sitting back there, and right now, hopefully, he's getting spiritual phenomena. He's also getting physical phenomena because he's sitting next to Grayson, and Grayson's keeping him away. All of that is taking place all the time. We're being bombarded with physical phenomena, and a lot of it is not good. Is very unhealthy. And we're feeding it, and it comes up into our mind, our emotion, our will. And there's a little guy in there called the will. And that little sucker makes a decision. I'm not going to buy that. I'll buy that. Not going to buy that. I'll buy that. Nope, that's not right. Yep, that's right. And all along, every day, your will is functioning. Now, turn over to Proverbs 4:23. The bottom of that, the bottom of Jack's picture under his feet, you see the word gravity? The outline says the location, the means, and the gravity. And under gravity it says 4:23. We should have this in our verse pack. We don't. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. See, Evangelina will determine what she allows into her mind. You make those choices. Ask yourself, how much TV did I watch last week? How many hours? Count them up. How many hours? How many hours did I talk to somebody? Start adding them up. And then on the other side, how much spiritual input did I have? How much time did I spend in the Scripture? Did I do it every day? I've got to guard my heart with all diligence, for out of it are the springs of life, or the issues of life. The decisions that I make come because I allow this in and it influenced me. I talk to this person and it influenced me. I know he's up on base. I know he's married, but he's so cute and he's hustling me. I can feel. And I can say, I can walk away or I can sit and talk. And I feel I shouldn't sit and talk, but I do. Because it's kind of fun. All of those issues take place. And they affect what decisions I make, and the decisions come out in terms of my speech, my attitudes, and my actions. There isn't anybody in this room that started out being a mass murderer. But you get there. Jeffrey Epstein didn't start out being a sexual addict. He got there because he allowed more and more and more to feed his mind. We replay old offenses again and again and again until I get so angry and so angry and so angry, I'm going to take that dude out. Because I replayed it again and again and again, and I fed it down into my mind and my emotions And they got boiling hot and my will said, go get him. And I got a murder on my hands. It's not rocket science. I'm controlling my heart. And the result of it, notice the speech, the attitude, the actions are out. That's where you go out. And you explode all over somebody, or you kill somebody, or you walk up and say, you know what? I really appreciate you. Flip the page. John Drinkwater wrote this. I wish I could have. Grant us the will to fashion as we feel. Man, I want to be a great servant of God. I want to charge in machine guns. I want to serve Jesus. That's how I feel. Grant us the strength to labor as we know. I want to work hard. I want to be so diligent. Grant me the purpose, ribbed and edged with steel, to strike the blow, to get off my butt and do it. Knowledge? We ask not. Knowledge that's lent. I get it on Sunday morning. But Lord, the will, there lies our deepest need. Grant us the power to build above the high intent. The deed. How many times are we convicted because I know I should do it, but I don't. I know I should say it, but I didn't. I know I should study it, but I don't. Put off the old man. Allow the truth to renew your life and then strike the deed. Put on the new man. Let's pray. Father, the world bombards us with lies, fake news, fake feelings, fake goals, fake promises. It promises everything and delivers pain and misery and hurt and sorrow. You tell us the truth. And sometimes it doesn't feel good. But it's the truth. And when we allow it in and we meditate on it, it changes our actions. We become different people. And we live fulfilled, wholesome lives. Productive. And I find out that peace and joy comes from obedience to the conscience. Thank you, Father, for your truth. In Jesus' name. Now, the description of that truth starts next week when Keith is going to tell us all about what the new man looks like. See you next Sunday.